Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, a lot of folks on the line this morning. We are going to quickly go around, and if you'll introduce yourself, say who you are, what agency you're with, and if you know what regional company you're with, you know, what the old balance or the, what the old continuum of care was, if you'll say that name as well, so we all can get an idea of where each other are. So I'll start. This is Denise Newneighbor. I'm the director of the North Carolina Coalition to End Homelessness, and I'll be doing the presentation this morning.
This is Lynn from Burlington. I'm the housing specialist there with Alamance Caswell LME. We're part of Balance State.
This is Naomi Herndon. I'm the executive director of Turning Point, which is a battered women's shelter and program. We're in Union County, and we are part of the Balance State.
I am Donna Wheeler with Community Link, part of the Piedmont Regional Continuum of Care.
This is Kim Braxton, Residential Treatment Services, and we provide 24-hour services to individuals with substance abuse and mental health issues.
Michelle Steele with Crossroads. We do Suryakin in Iredell Counties. We're the LME, and we're part of the Balance of State.
Tina Willis, Housing Specialist, Mental Health Partners, LME, part of the Balance of State.
Terry Prince, Union County Crisis Assistance Ministry, Piedmont Behavioral Region, part of Balance of State.
Amy Taylor, Housing Specialist for ECBH. We're part of the Balance of State, and we have two regional continuum of cares in our area, Pitt COC and New Tideland COC.
Sharon Edwards, Pitt County Department of Social Services. We're part of the Balance of State.
Wanda Felt, Sandhill Center, LME with Anson, Richmond, Montgomery, Moore, Hoke, Randolph, Lynn, Harnett, and some of our counties are Balance of State.
Carol Yard, Open Arms Community Outreach in Wingate, part of PBH State.
Angie Morrow, RTSA, Alamance County, Balance of State.
Nancy Taylor, Surrey Homeless and Affordable Housing Coalition, Balance of State.
Cassandra Daniels, City of Greenville Human Relations Office, County Continuum of Care.
Marcy Lewis, Mountain Youth Resources, Silva, and I have no idea, that's why I'm here.
Great. Yep, you're part of the Southwest region then.
Okay.
Michael Best, Greenville Housing Development Corporation, part of the Balance of State.
Anyone else?
Hey, here's Jay, part of Balance of State, Rockingham County.
Great.
Lamar Johnson, Southeastern Regional LME. That's Bladen, Scotland, Robeson, and Columbus counties.
Great. Anyone else? Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. We are going to go over some, you know, as we said, some basics about the Balance of State. We're going to start with an overview of the continuum of care and kind of why we do this in the first place and what programs we're applying for funding. So what I'm going to do is actually tell you that for you can hit *4 to increase or decrease the volume on your phone. You can hit *6 to turn your line on mute. *6 turns it both on and off. But as we first go through this presentation, I'm going to go ahead and put it on lecture mode, so all of you will be muted. If you have a question as we go along, if you're online and you can see the presentation, you may notice there's a little box on the left that you can submit a question, and you can do that, or we'll take questions at the end as well. So have you all been able to get online? You should see something that says Balance of State 101 call.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and jump right in. Give me 1 second, and then we'll put it into lecture mode.
I can't get mine to my Balance of State on the computer, it won't go past the first screen.
Okay. It actually won't go past the first screen. So right now I have control of all of your computers. So as I change it, you'll see it.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So today, this is the first part of what we're going to do is an overview of the continuum of care and eligible activities, the process that we have to go through, and then an overview of our structure, and then we'll get actually into more detail on this of what different responsibilities are. So just as a reminder, when we receive money from HUD, which are the McKinney programs or the homeless assistance programs, that money is allocated by Congress, and then HUD will split that money up. About 20% is distributed down through the Emergency Shelter Grant Program. That gets block granted to the state. The Office of Office of Economic Opportunity administers that in North Carolina. So you all may be familiar with the name Michael Leach. He oversees that program. And ESG funds things like emergency shelter operations, some services money, as well as some transitional housing and some prevention money as well. But the bulk of that is really for emergency shelter operations. And then about 80% is distributed through a competitive process. And that's the process that the Balance of State is a part of, which is the continuum of care process. So the continuum of care was first created in 1994. We actually saw some new legislation pass about 2 weeks ago that codified the continuum of care, which now it's written into law, giving the continuum of care a little bit more power, letting HUD, HUD had always had used the continuum of care since 1994, but since this new legislation passed, they're actually able to give us some money for continuum of care. So we saw new legislation pass 2 weeks ago, and we'll see those changes within the next 18 months. But what that means is in the future, continuum of care, the leadership and all the administrative parts of what we have to do, we could actually apply for some funding for that as well. So before the continuum of care, agencies applied directly to HUD for grants. So that meant that just thousands of agencies from across the country were applying directly to HUD. And you can apply for that continuum of services for street outreach, shelter, transitional housing, permanent housing. Through the continuum of care, we're able to determine what geographic boundaries we want on our own. The community gets to decide that. But now, instead of applying directly to HUD, everyone has to apply through the continuum of care. So there are no more individual applications directly to HUD. If you want to apply for those funds, then you have to be a part of the continuum of care. So in North Carolina, we have 13 continua of care. You can see them listed here. We did at one point have 27. And when all of the continua of care that actually a lot of you are a part of came together to join the Balance of State, that meant that we were able to create one larger continua of care. And HUD really liked it because they had to deal with less applications from us or those less exhibit ones. But it also means that there were several counties who didn't do anything before, who weren't a part of a regional committee or, your past continuum of care. So Southwest used to have their own application, and Piedmont used to have their own application. Alamance had their own application. And now we've all come together, and as a part of that, we're able to leverage the other county resources as well. So here you see a list of all of the counties that are a part of the Balance of State. And so these are all the counties that we're now able to draw down dollars for that. Not every county currently has services or permanent housing or transitional housing or receives these grants for someplace in their area. So we're actually able to make sure that money for that county isn't being left on the table, and folks who do have successful applications can apply for that money as well. So this is what the continuum of care application used to look like. As I said before, the continuum of care, these nonprofits, housing authorities, LMEs, local governments, everyone was dealing directly with HUD. They were reporting to HUD, applying to HUD, and HUD was dealing directly with them. And now, through the continuum of care application process, you can see that the applicants or the grantees give information to the continuum of care, and then the continuum of care submits one grant application. But of course, the money comes directly back to the grantee. The money doesn't go through the COC. And so you can see how HUD directly contacts the local entity. And then we put an extra little step in there when we created the balance of state. So you can see how these different agencies at the bottom will report to the regional committees, and then the regional committees help funnel that information up to the balance of state. And then the balance of state puts together the entire continuum of care application, which goes to HUD, and then HUD gets that money back out to the local agencies. So this is the structure that we've created for the balance of state. So this should help you a little bit understand how everything fits together. We have one balance of state steering committee. Those meet monthly. And Martha R. from the Department of Health and Human Services is the co-chair, or is the chair of that, and then I'm the co-chair. And as most of you probably know, Martha has been assigned to work on some of the recovery programs. So in her stead, we have Jennifer Olson from the Department of Health and Human Services, who's doing a lot of the work now. So look out for emails from Jennifer Olson, and she'll be the main point of contact for this year. And then also on the steering committee, we have folks who are representatives from their regional committees, or someone who is a regional committee lead, so we know so the state-level folks know who the local person is to talk to get that information out to everyone. And then also any interested parties. The steering committee is an open meeting, and any of you can participate in those. Underneath that, you can see the different committees that we have for the balance of state. There's a scoring criteria committee, project review committee, the regional committees, which are those local committees that were their own COCs before, the former COCs. Those are the groups that are meeting locally in your community. Permanent housing, those are for all folks who are permanent housing providers, including folks that aren't in the balance of state. And then transitional housing for all those transitional housing providers. And we've actually added one more onto that as well, which is the families committee. And then underneath that, you can see the regional committee typically has several committees that they work with on the local level as well. You have a project committee, folks who are working on what projects you may want to put forward, a grantee review committee, coordinating the point in time count and taking the housing inventory is a big job, and so that's usually a committee on its own. We also have a CHIN monitoring committee, which is CHIN is the Carolina Homeless Information Network, or the HMIS, the Homeless Management Information System, which is what we're required to put all of our data into. And so that committee helps make sure that people are staying up to date with their data. And then we also suggest that if you have folks who are interested in advocacy to get a group of them into an advocacy committee as well. And I know this is a lot of information. We will be sending out this PowerPoint at the end of the presentation so you can have it to reference. So here again, you can see all the balance of state committees that we have, how often they meet. Steering committee and regional committee usually meet on a monthly basis. The steering committee is always via conference call. Regional committees are in person. The scorecard committee usually meets at the beginning of a funding cycle to determine how we're going to score the different applications. And then the ranking committee are the folks who actually take the scorecard that was created and rank those projects. And then the three last committees you can see meet three times a year. And then here's just another list of those regional committees that you may have, the committees under your regional folks. If you want to learn more about what these committees do and what your responsibilities are as a member, you can go to this website at the bottom, www.ncceh.org, BOS Minutes, and look for the document that's titled NCBOS Roles and Responsibilities. And that's something that Jennifer just posted last I guess this month at this last call, she's come up with this really nice document outlining all of these different committees and what they do and what they're responsible for. So I guess I want to give a little bit more of an overview of, we don't have a slide in here, but it seems like some of you may not know what it means to rank or score an application. So what happens every year is that HUD determines how much our pro rata is, and so, or our fair share. So Congress gives a certain amount of money to HUD to split up in between the ESG program and the continuum of care program. And then from that, they use a formula to figure out how much money each community is entitled to, and that's our pro rata. So then in order to make sure that we get good applications into, the good individual applications into the overall applications, the continuum of care is responsible for ranking and deciding which projects will go forward. So everyone is welcome to apply for funding, but often we see more applications than we have money to fund, and that's where the scorecard committee and ranking committee come in, is that they're really having to prioritize what things need funding first and what projects we think will be most successful. So from your region, you are required to have at least one representative on the steering committee, one representative on the scorecard committee, and one representative on the ranking committee. And we really want to make sure that everyone's involved and that every region has a voice, and that's why we require that you have at least one person on those committees. So the programs that are under the COC are the Supportive Housing Program, or the SHP program, and the Shelter Plus Care. So the Supportive Housing Program, this is the program that funds transitional housing, it funds permanent housing, and it funds HMIS. These projects can be for 2 to 3 years. For new projects, you can apply for funding for 2 to 3 years, and nonprofits and governments can apply. And right now, the Supportive Housing Program and the Shelter Plus Care Program are two different programs. In the next 18 months, because of that new legislation, we'll see that change, and it will become just one program that we're applying to. But these are the types of things that you can apply for under the continuum of care. You cannot apply for shelter operations or any kind of capital money, for building shelter. It's all transitional housing and permanent housing. You are able to apply for some services money under this, although we'll go over in a couple of minutes of why it's important to really focus on permanent housing. If you're interested in applying for transitional housing through the continuum of care, the scorecard committee has set the scorecard so in your application you will have to really explain why you want to do transitional housing instead of permanent housing, because the community gets more points for permanent housing. So with the Supportive Housing Program, this is for the permanent housing piece of it. It's usually a site-based program. You can get money for bricks and mortar, so you can get money to buy some property or buy a facility. You can get money to help rehabilitate that building, or you can get money for construction as well. For the bricks and mortar portion, you have to have 100% cash match, so dollar for dollar, whatever amount you're asking for through this funding, you would have to match that with an equal amount of funding. Or you can also do some leasing. If you don't own a building, you can get money to lease other apartments for folks. If you're not leasing and you need some operating money, you can also apply for operating money. The bricks and mortar of building the permanent housing is one piece of it, and then keeping it going year after year is another piece. That's the operating. And so if you're not leasing and you're operating your own, you can get money for that, and that requires a 25% match. Support services are also eligible under this program, and that would include a 20% cash match. And then this is the Shelter Plus Care program, which I know a lot of you are running. The Shelter Plus Care provides rent assistance. Some of them are project-based, meaning that they are tied to a particular unit or kind of complex. But most of them in North Carolina are tenant-based, which means it's more like Section 8 where the voucher can follow the person. With this, you have to have 100% service match. So whereas before we were looking at cash match where you actually had to have the funding, the actual dollars, this is a service match. And what we typically see here is the services matched by the LME because they're the folks that will be providing those services to the people living in this housing. It is permanent housing, and it does have to be individuals with a disability. It can also be a family where the head of household has a disability. You can apply for funding for 5 years for new projects, and the applicant has to be part of a local government. So it can be the housing authority or the LME, and they can apply and then sub-grant it out to a nonprofit. So it's important that we have a lot of different pieces coming together for the funding, because the way that the funding is scored is that it's no longer based on your individual application for your project. And that's the difference between Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2. So Exhibit 1 is the portion of the application that describes the entire balance of state for all of the agencies and services and housing and all of the things from across the balance of state are described in the Exhibit 1. So that includes the point in time count. It includes the housing inventory, services inventory, all of our goals and priorities, our use of HMIS. All of those different things are contained in the Exhibit 1. This is why it's really important, even if agencies in your community are not receiving funding, or even if you're not receiving funding through the continuum of care, it's really important to still be a part of the process, because we, as a whole, we get points for everyone that participates. It doesn't have to just be people who are getting funding. In fact, we get more points through this if everyone is participating, if we have folks who aren't receiving funding. So we have to show that every shelter, every transitional house, every permanent housing, that they are on our housing inventory list, and we have to be sure to be able to capture how many people they're housing on that point in time count night, which is always the last 10 days of January. So that's the Exhibit 1, and I think it's a really good idea, if you haven't looked at the Exhibit 1, to take a look at it. So you can see this link at the bottom to view last year's Exhibit 1. You can go to that website, and we actually have all of the Exhibit 1s from all the continua from North Carolina. But take a look at the Balance of State Exhibit 1, and you'll see how it's so important, how your participation is so important, and how the different committees we have are so important, and all of the data that we're gathering. And then the Exhibit 2 is actually the individual project applications. So those are the applications that are coming from the different agencies. And so you can see the continuum of care scoring here. An Exhibit 2 or the project application will not be funded if the Exhibit 1 does not receive enough funding, or new projects will not be funded if we don't compete well enough. And so this year's funding line was 78.25 points, and the balance of state score was just under the funding line at 76.75. So you can see what actually has happened is that this year the balance of state was under the funding line, meaning that everyone who applied for renewals got their renewal for 1 year, and what they typically do is continue to renew for 1 year if you don't score above the funding line. But no new projects were awarded because we were under that funding line. And you can see the different categories here: the COC housing services and structures, the homeless needs and data collection, the strategic planning, the performance. The performance is based right off of your APRs, which is the annual progress report for everyone who is receiving funding, and then the emphasis on housing activities, which is basically how many housing activities versus services are you asking for. So you can see we were just less than 2 points under the funding line, but that meant that we left – a lot of money on the table that those new projects didn't get funded. So this is why it's very important to try to encourage other folks in your community to really to participate and to make sure that we are contributing to HMIS, making sure that we're doing the point-in-time count correctly, making sure that we have as much participation as possible, and making sure that we have the performance on those individual grants that we need in order to really bump that score up so we can make sure that we get new projects funded. And I'm going to take it off of lecture mode to see if there are any questions at this point. Are there any questions at this point of any of that kind of complex information?
I have a question, Denise. This is Terry Prince with Union County Crisis Assistance. And we're not determined exactly which way we're going to go in our application. We're looking, because we're pretty much the ESG, and our thing is more homeless prevention and keeping utilities from being turned off. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do an application involving supportive housing as well. We're still looking at that. But does this information, is it going to be relevant to us with, as far as what we do and what we're looking at, the direction we're trying to go?
Yep. If you decide to do an application for supportive housing, then those two different programs that I went over with the supportive housing or the Shelter Plus Care, those are the type that you would go for.
Right. But I guess my question then is, if we were not doing the supportive housing in, because I was told we could just apply for the other, the homeless prevention, then is this information going to apply the same way?
Well, the scoring is different. This is the scoring only for the continuum of care. But it's important to understand how it works in your community, because there's other folks in your community who are applying for this funding. And you, even if you're not applying for funding, it's important that you are still involved in the committee. Where you see it here with the COC Housing Services and Structure and Strategic Planning, we actually get points for people just simply coming to the table every month to the meeting. And that means that money will be able to be drawn down into your community to help the same folks that you're serving.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Are there other questions? Okay, we'll go on. So the Exhibit 2, remember, is the project application of what you would apply for under those two different projects, for permanent housing or for possibly some transitional housing or services. And the scorecard committee creates a new scorecard every year. So you can see the new scorecard for 2009 on this website. And these are the categories that we look at. We look at organizational capacity. Do you have the capacity within your organization to carry out this project? We look at HUD's priorities, knowing that they give certain points in that application and the Exhibit 1 for what we're applying for. And so we look at those priorities, and if your project is aligned with them, you get some extra points for that. We look at the targeting of, are you targeting it to the folks who are the most in need? Look at what type of services you may be providing, what past annual performance report data you may have, and how well you're doing with your current programs. We look at, there's some threshold items for the project quality. That means you have to meet those in order to move forward. We're also looking at the regional pro rata. So has your region already used up all of your pro rata or your fair share, or is there some more there? And then also looking at geographic preference. If your community, if your area hasn't applied before and you're applying this year, you'd get some points for that. And then we also score your agency based on relationship to community. So if you are a part of your regional committee and you're active in those groups, then you get points for that as well. And then at the end, the ranking committee or project review committee will take each Exhibit 2 or project application and score them and rank them in that order. And that's what goes forward to HUD to get funded. If you are a current grantee or if you apply for money and receive it, you'll be required to submit quarterly reports to the Balance of State Steering Committee. That's for the grantees only. This is to help monitor spending and monitor performance. So that way, if there's something going on with the project, we never want to give money back. And so if there's something going on that's holding you up from getting those units rented, for example, we want to make sure we know about it so we can help. And also, we really have to meet some specific performance goals, which you saw we get scored on in the Exhibit 1. And so we're monitoring those every quarter for performance as well, so we can intervene before we have to report it to HUD so we can increase our score. And those quarterly reports are due within 30 days of the end of each quarter. And all grants are kind of, they can start in any month. And so there's a timeline for when your grants are due. If you don't know when your AP or your quarterly reports are due to us, you can shoot me an email and we'll send you the schedule. The HMIS is required of all HUD grantees. So HMIS is the Homeless Management and Information System. And that is a database that we're all putting information in about who we're serving. And that way we can look at your individual performance. You can look at what your how your project is performing, what outcomes you have, what outputs you have, how many you're serving, how quickly they're in and out of shelter and that type of thing. But this is something that's required, and we actually have to have at least I think the newest number is that they are expecting 84% of beds in our whole continuum of care. 84% of the beds have to be entered into HMIS in order for us to receive maximum points on that. So it's very important that everyone is participating in HMIS. Even if you're not required to do so, you may want to see about joining anyway. It's a good kind of case management software, and it can help with referrals, but it also gives us the aggregate information that we need, as well as it helps increase our score to make sure that we're getting that money from the Balance of State COC process. And so there's technical assistance available from CHIN. CHIN is the Balance of State HMIS. It's the Carolina Homeless Information Network. And if you're not currently participating in CHIN, you can give us a call or let Jennifer know as well, and we'll make sure to get you hooked up and answer any questions. So this is the participant checklist. This is the kind of the things that we know happen every year. And so there are some things here that are for everyone who participates in Balance of State. So for those of you who may be running shelter, are coming to the table and participating, but you're not getting continuum of care money, we still need everyone's participation with a point in time count, because we really have to get a comprehensive count of everyone who was homeless on that particular night. It's always at the end of January. And then our agency, NCCH, has been gathering that information, and we need that information back from you by at least March 1st. And then all folks are welcome to volunteer on the Balance of State committees, attend Balance of State meetings, communicate information to local partners, and really try to get more folks to come to the table. There's a structure and membership questionnaire from that will come from DHHS. They have to get information from agencies all across the community and who's participating in order to put that into the Exhibit 1. And then we also have to have a housing inventory. So the housing inventory includes all of the emergency beds, transitional beds, and permanent supportive housing beds for everyone for all of those counties that you saw. Even if they're not participating in the Balance of State, we still have to submit that information to HUD. And then you can see the pieces in here that are just for the current grantees, the participation in HMIS, although we also encourage other folks to participate as well, the quarterly reports, and then the pre-application and budget worksheet. And this next page is for folks who are just who are applying for that continuum of care HUD money. So you can also find this checklist on our website as well. It's on the Balance of State page. So if you go to www.ncceh.org/BOS minutes, you can find it there. And so I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of the COC and the regional committee, because I think there's a little bit of a tendency for us to really just focus on the funding and that one application. And really there's a lot of other things that we do in the steering committee, the statewide structure, and that you're doing at the local level. And so I'm going to take it off of lecture mode again, and I want to get your feedback on this as well for those of you who are participating in the local level. So we see that the continuum of care can really help to share resources. Are any of you seeing that at the local level? Do you have any examples of what types of resources you may be sharing?
First, but he scheduled second.
Denise, this is Len from Burlington. I'm not sure if this is the kind of example that you're looking for, but I know one of the things that we do here, my local housing authority, we actually pay them to administer our three Shelter Plus Care grants. And in return, sort of what they get out of that is, of course, the money. But I also help write their – well, I don't help write. I write their APR for them every year, and I write their renewal grants for them every year. So it's a real sort of, you know, wash my back and I wash yours, because it's helpful for both agencies. They don't have to commit – a lot of time to something that they don't really know a lot about, and I am able to, you know, in turn help them out with things that I know a lot more about.
Mm-hmm. So you're really cooperating well on that grant then?
Four grants, actually.
Four grants.
Yeah, and in addition, our other housing authority, Burlington, has two grants, a transitional grant and a supportive housing grant, which I helped them get out of some monies that were salvaged from two grants that were defaulted on by our local shelter. And I'm the pass-through for all of their referrals. So every referral in the whole entire community for Shelter Plus Care, this transitional program, this supportive housing program, flows through me. And then I disseminate them out to the appropriate administering body.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that this process is helping you all coordinate all of that?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, our new supportive housing grant was only for people who are chronically homeless. So what I did for 11 months was I diverted all the chronic homeless applications for Shelter Plus Care to another program which needed the chronic homeless tenants more than the Shelter Plus Care program did at the same time. And if we had had those things separated, we would have been fighting for the same tenants and maybe putting tenants in one program that could have been served better by a different program.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we see a lot at the local level, is that sharing of resources, that sometimes there's someone who is just serving women and children, and then there's a men's shelter, but getting together and knowing what each other do and being able to refer to folks, or a lot of times there's someone who's just serving vets or just serving chronic homeless. And so it's really important to get together and make sure that you are serving people in the best way. And another piece of sharing resources is a lot of times folks will come to the table and say, you know, we have some FEMA money that's available for rental assistance, or the housing authority may come to the table and help with we've seen some communities actually have the housing authority set aside some units or Section 8 vouchers for folks that the continuum of care are working with, or that type of thing. Are there other examples from your local communities that you can think of? Or resources that you think you would be able to share with your local folks, or resources you know other people have that you want a piece of as well?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How are you? Pretty good. Are you staying? Are you feeling done? Are there any?
All right. Well, I know there's a lot of a lot of pieces to this of getting together, and really a big piece of it is just getting together and understanding what other resources there are in your community and what other people are doing in your community. Before we saw the continuum of care and these groups get together, there really weren't a lot of connections between the different agencies, and we're just seeing those connections grow and grow, and that's why it's an important part to be a part of this. Beyond the regional committees, we can share resources at the state level as well, and that's what some of the different committees do. Of, you know, if you're running transitional housing or you're running permanent supportive housing, those are great opportunities to meet with peers from across the state and talk about your specific program. The steering committee in general is also a great way to learn what other communities are doing. And as we come together as a community, one big piece of what we have to do is establish the need of, you know, how many folks do we have that are out there who are experiencing homelessness, and then are there any gaps in the community that I was working with before I came here to work at the state level? We really didn't have enough shelter for women, and that was one that we were really focused on, really trying to meet that need and address that gap in services. So I guess my question to all of you is, why is it important to participate even if you're not a grantee? That's the thing that we run across a lot, especially when we're trying to get those point-in-time count numbers from folks, is why is it important to participate even if you're not going to get the money from HUD? I think some of you are currently participating and not getting money. So what is it that you're interested in, and why do you continue to come to the table? Remember, you can hit *6 to unmute your line.
I just think by not participating that you just run the risk of losing lots of valuable resources, which impact the whole entire community across the spectrum. So even though a given agency in my community might not, you know, be directly involved in it, it will serve the people that they serve, and it just creates a bigger safety net for families and persons with disabling conditions and, you know, run of bad luck and so forth. You know, I just think it's very short-sighted to not get involved in something like this.
I think we also, you said it better than I could say it, Lynn. But we also see that, you know, you're widening that safety net, getting more resources to your community. But if you're an agency that can't, you know, if you are a shelter and you can't necessarily apply for this funding, by helping other agencies get this funding, then you're bringing more funding to your community and maybe opening up some of the other funding sources in your community to make sure that that funding is directed to something that you can't get money from HUD for. Are there any questions at this point, of any information or anything that I went over or anything that I failed to go over, any questions or things that you were hoping we would address on the call?
I do have a question. The HMIS software, what does that cost?
Let's see. It was, if you're in the balance of state, then I think it's gone up to $225 per user per year. So starting in July, it will be $225 for the entire year. And that comes with training and technical assistance and a help desk and all of the software, and it's a web-based system. So that covers everything you'll need for the entire year for one person to join.
And explain again how the HMIS is different from CHIN.
That it's not. It is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
CHIN, they're all a bunch of acronyms. So CHIN is the Carolina Homeless Information Network, which is the name of our statewide HMIS.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new and you're coming on to the program and you have services that you want to offer, but this is your first time, and you're having a hard time pulling your services together, but you participate in your local continuum of care, what would be your advice to offer your services to your community with no financial assistance?
What type of services are you hoping to offer?
Transitional housing and permanent housing.
Okay. Well, I think the best thing to do is to schedule an appointment with Jennifer Olson. Her number is 919-733-4534. And she can meet with you and maybe pull Martha R. in as well and meet with you and talk to you about the type of program that you'd like to run. And so are you currently running those or you're wanting to create them?
We want to create them.
Okay. So the best thing to do is to talk to Jennifer and learn more about it make sure that you're connected in your community and see what's already being offered. And she'll help you establish the need in your community and get you up to par. Typically what we see is, are you already a nonprofit agency?
Yes.
Yes. So what she can do is just talk you through all of the steps, and what it would be really good for you to do is to look at the scorecard and
yes.
look at the types of things that folks are getting scored on and see if you meet those basic threshold things, like that you have an audit and those type of things. And that would be the first place to start. Other questions?
I'm not sure if I'm on mute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you tell me, I'm a little confused about the difference in continuum of care and balance of state.
Yep. So the continuum of care is the type of structure that we're required to have.
Okay.
The balance of state is the continuum of care that you're in. So it's just the name of our continuum of care. So it's the balance of state continuum of care.
Then
there's a Raleigh-Wake County continuum of care. There's an Asheville-Buncombe continuum of care. And so the balance of state is just one continuum of care within the state of North Carolina.
Okay, separate from the 13.
It's one of the 13.
One of the 13.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, in four of our counties of the eight that we serve, there is a continuum of care, St. Hills Community Action Program.
Okay.
But they do not hold meetings, so the agencies have not been able to get together with them to put in an application.
What counties are those?
It's, let's see, they do Anson, Moore, Richmond, and Montgomery.
Okay. And so is that Sand Hills that's doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and they're not holding meetings?
No, and I'm fairly new. I've only been on the job about 18 months. Okay. And when I came on the job, others that have been working in this community for 20 years, I was asking about this, and, you know, they told me. And on my own, I found out it's true. I saw at the HUD training last week one of the new staff. She's been there 6 months. And I asked her, I said, well, has there been a meeting in the last 6 months that maybe we just don't know about? But she said no. And she had told me she would get me the information on when the last meeting was and when the next one was scheduled. But I haven't heard anything yet. And, yes, we did email and leave messages for Nancy Smith.
Right.
But there's not been a response.
Yeah. We've had problems getting point in time count numbers from them as well. So there's something else going on. So why don't you give me a call or send
okay.
me an email, and let's also talk. We'll talk to the HUD field office and see if we can figure out a way to jumpstart that community.
That would be great. There's a homeless shelter in Moore County that their numbers weren't even counted in the
okay.
point in time.
Okay. Yep, those are
Interfaith. Hospitality, those numbers weren't counted, and they've got some pretty high numbers.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's have a conversation and see what we can do.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? As you think of questions, feel free to give us a call, or you can contact Jennifer Olson. Her number again is 919-733-4534. And here on this last page are some resources of where you can get more information and stay up to date with Balance of State activities. So we have a new blog that you can see here is ncbos.wordpress.org. That actually may be .net. So if org doesn't work, try .net. And then we have a lot of the documents and things that I talked about today are hosted on our webpage, and you can see the links here. And in the next hour or so, you can expect an email from us here at the Coalition with these links and with a summary of those documents that I pointed out today to make sure that you can go back and look at them. Are there any other questions? Does it make a little bit more sense?
Still learning.
Still learning.
Yeah.
It's a complicated process. So as you go through this, please be sure to give us a call and to talk to your regional person as well. I will make sure that you are on the Balance of State mailing list so you can receive that information. And I think that Jennifer is going to get some new contact information out about who your regional lead is. And so you'll want to make sure that you know who the point person in your community is and make sure that you find out when their meetings are. And all of that information will also go up on our blog.
Okay.
So there's a calendar on the WordPress blog that you can look at, and it will tell you all of the different meetings that are scheduled. And there's contact information listed there for Jennifer as well. Is there any final questions? All right. Well, be sure to, if I wasn't clear with something today, be sure to give me a call and we'll talk it through. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A, yes, she was walking out the door.
Okay, so she told you.
Yeah, about her mother.
Yeah.
Government.